Now would be a good time, talking about flying by the seat of our pants. On page 17 of the program is our colleague Lauren Howell, who has been one of our global advisors for 8 years. She lived in New York in a wheelchair with muscular dystrophy. She actually went back to California to take care of her mother, who was getting old and would drive her mother to doctor's appointments in her wheelchair. And she took care of her dying mother in her wheelchair. And she has done our graphics for years and years and years. And this year she was working on this program about 2 weeks ago. And she seemed a little sluggish and said she was tired and she wanted to take a nap, and we continued the conversation in the morning. And the next morning I got a call from her sister that she'd passed away in her sleep at the age of 29. So I'd like to remember Lauren and also let you know how challenging it is when the family doesn't know how to get you the computer files, how hard it is to continue with a program. So we found a second graphic designer who was friends with Lauren, and I got him all the stuff last Wednesday and was really pleased that a friend of hers could pick up the pieces and move from scratch. Not pick up the pieces, but move from scratch. So everything was set, and then he went off the radar, reappearing this Monday. Wednesday after the phone call, he'd been hospitalized unexpectedly, and his cell was lost. And he didn't get out of the hospital and get to another cell phone until Monday morning. So this program was born Monday night and went to the printers Wednesday. So we are all pitching in this year, and it's amazing what we can do as a community. And as Dustin and my friend Helen and all the others, Ariel, can tell you, community is very, very important, and I think we embody community here tonight. And speaking about community, I'd like to introduce a man who helps build communities, and I have a wonderful introduction for him in my cell phone, but my eyes are so bad that I'm going to just wing it. First off, you just met his better half, and you can only imagine if she's with him how cool he must be. So I really need to say that much about him. But let him speak for himself. I would be a little intimidated, honestly, but thank God I don't have the problem of, like, women that are too smart for me. Inside joke. But anyway, Thomas, you are an architect, a social entrepreneur, an impact investor, a humanitarian. At times when I would read about you, I was a little overwhelmed. It was just too smart for me. I couldn't quite keep up. And I thought, I didn't quite know what to think. But when I met you, I realized that you're like the real deal, and like maybe you used too many words, I'm not sure, but you're really making a huge impact in the world through like the gift of your genius. And I'd like to have you come up and celebrate that genius, because you're an incredible human being. So, the official things are, whereas he is a Danish architect urbanist, technology futurist, impact investor, and cultural pioneer focused on bleeding edge social impact design and open source solutions, and wrote the book, my eyes, Matthew, I need the glasses rented.
Recoded City,
co-created urban futures, a vibrant, critically acclaimed global survey of the potential of participatory placemaking to empower citizens today. He has worked with challenge organizations, including the Vatican, NASA, MIT, serving the bottom billion. You all know the phrase, the bottom billion, which is a group of people that he's been focused on, including also, in addition to the refugee crisis and mitigating climate change. He has spoken often at the Clinton Global Fellowship. He has worked with UN Habitat, Global Placemaking Forum, the World Economic Forum, Shaping the Future, and it goes on and on and on, including a little place up the road called the UN General Assembly. So with that, I would like to give you an awesome Kevin McGovern. All right. I like those introductions. They're not formal, and that's how the world should be. We should get away with not having to be formal, because it's not a formality we excel. So I want to start by saying I'm going to devote my life to the international service of my wife. I think I could probably end it there. Serve me. Is this better? Okay, so I'll just repeat. I devote my life to the international service of my wife. Thank you. So I'll just start with a joke. A young couple, one an architect and the other an engineer, go on camping and they set up their tent and soon they fall asleep. Some hours later, the engineer wakes up the architect and asks, "Look up at the sky and tell me what you see." And the architect replies, "I see a million stars." And the engineer asks, "What does that tell you?" Well, the architect ponders for a minute and then says, "Astronomically speaking, it tells me that there are millions of galaxies and potentially billions of planets. Astrologically speaking, it tells me that Saturn is in Leo. Time-wise, it appears to be approximately 3:15. Theologically, it's evident that the Lord is all-powerful and we are small and insignificant. And meteorologically, it seems we will all have a beautiful day tomorrow. Why? What does that tell you?" The engineer is silent for a moment and then speaks, "Practically speaking, it seems self-evident that someone has stolen our tent." So yes, people who think big are sometimes confused. And it is a fact that my wife still struggles to explain what I do. But I guess to simplify my diverse pursuits, I'm interested in how we best live together. You see, we are known as Homo sapiens and social animals, but the strangest of our anthropological conundrums is that the thing we're the worst at doing still is living together. That is for ourselves and our planet, and as we soon possibly become multiplanetary ape, we've got some homework to do. I suppose being a city futurist is a bit like practicing social therapy or studying how to improve things at a systemic level. We need to understand people, technology, nature, and how those come together. What is the relation to humanitarianism? There you might ask. Well, I've done a bit of classic philanthropy work over the years, and I've supported some projects, but mainly my efforts have concentrated on rethinking the way we build places that work for people, that support community well-being and environmental resilience, and especially targeted at fragile communities, where you can prototype things that might be less obvious, where everyone else seems to be happy. I'm deeply honored to be receiving this award from the foundation imprinted by the generous genius of its founder, Jim Luce, that has spearheaded so much great humanitarian work and touched the most disadvantaged anywhere, namely orphans. Following the good steps of Albert de Monaco, as an awardee here a few years back, at the illustrious National Arts Club is no small feat, so I will strive to be as noble as his good self. Of course, I still have to follow the steps of my wife, and as her lesser half, there is a chance I may learn from her. So this savant combination of ridiculous beauty and intellectual brilliance might impact me too. This award I see less as a distinction for what I've achieved than a reminder that I must strive to redouble my efforts to impact the world more. And being a humanitarian in 2017, in my opinion, looks very different to what it used to be. You have to invent products and services that solve systemic flaws while promoting the well-being of citizens, a progressive civic economy through technology and design, co-created in participatory efforts, both online and offline, in person, and through mutual crowdsourcing platforms even, allowing for a thriving sharing economy based on solid values and collaborative consumption models that interrupt our ridiculous thirst for more stuff, while bringing us closer to who we are. I've devoted much of my efforts to two directions of travel I consider parallel and core to human progress in our time. The first is what I consider as an incremental inclusive growth strategy focused on community development, especially in the more fragile parts of our cities where welfare rarely penetrates. If you want to see it as a version of resilience focused on self-help and self-reliance through facilitated and curated journeys, and that's what my organization, Peer Village, does. It's a version of people tech, if you want. In some ways, they are accelerating the path to the SDGs, or the Sustainable Development Goals of the UN, especially number 4, 10, and 11. And the other is to be, the other side to this journey has been, the second part, is to be a technology futurist, looking at how we can bring in exponential and disruptive solutions or technologies to mature. And they concern water, energy, healthcare, waste treatment, new materials, but also a singularitarian angle of artificial intelligence, robotics, biotech, and genomics. The humanitarian of the future has to consider those questions. So you've understood, my version of humanitarians is entrepreneurial, while being aware that a philanthropic phase is often necessary for the path of finding ideas to emerge in an economy demanded by the speed of returns. It allows very little breathing room, and what this room can do is to give space to big ideas to be sheltered until they can do the work that they have to do in the world. I'm a big believer in the market as a necessary force to replicate the survival of the fittest. However, the market is not free. Nations competing are corrupt and defunct, and our supply chains have become absurd. Building circular economies and unleashing the correcting potential of the fourth industrial revolution is essential to creating fairer working conditions for many at the bottom of this new pyramid of manufacturing for half of the world. We have a second half that can barely participate, and with up to 200 million refugees projected by 2050, we have a massively destabilizing force. A quick note on that is that where we stand is our political systems have bent under the pressure of xenophobia and allowed populism to invade our everyday like in the 1930s. Except we didn't have a war to create that context. We just have three majorly inconvenient truths to grapple with: environmental failure, catastrophic inequality, and world institutions with critical inefficiencies, making them dangerously obsolete when we need them the most. We need to organize a transition, not a resistance, and with openness at heart, be there for each other. This starts in the places of strife. We need new churches and town halls, beacons of innovation that can land transformative experiences for communities and anchor them in their reality so that they can participate rather than feel excluded from the big games. This is forming villages of opportunity where welfare is co-generated, not granted by the state that can barely afford to feed itself. It is a shift towards radical self-reliance, empowering everyone to partner in the change they want to see. To do so, with the MIT and the Vatican, I'm involved in helping shape two challenge-based organizations, one for impact, social businesses helping the bottom billion, the other to support refugee education, because I think these are the communities that will decide our collective future in elections, in our economic growth perspectives, in the way we shape our relations with other nations and peoples. And the list goes on. I want to end by saying a big thank you to my parents, and to people around me, my wife, my son, and the community that I've had the chance to work with. I was a child of two parents who had been through a lot, and by emerging their lands of hope, they formed an empire of love around me that to this day I have benefited from. In wanting to put more light into this world of darkness, I want to dedicate this award to my father, who gave me the strength to be my own man and build a sense of moral courage. To my mother, that led me into the creative world of poetry and photography and opened my eyes to how design could magnify our perception of things around us. To my wife, Kalia, with whom I have yet to do a lot and who is my life companion on this adventure to be bigger than ourselves by serving those who didn't have our opportunities. To my darling son, Arthur, who is here. I hope to give all the chances to him to be what he chooses to be and give his best self to wherever he may go. But also to those in the room in my family that have inspired my journey and colleagues and partners that have formed a team around me for years. This is a true privilege, and thank you very much. Thank you very much, Tony, and of course, Jim Luce, and everyone here for your attention, and for being a nice version of humanity.
Exactly.